Does anyone have more information on this? Because it looks kind of scary.
Okay. No problem at all. See you shortly, Mr. Secretary.
You can work that in.
Mr. Secretary,
Secretary Bessent was removed from an interview, like mid-interview, which is already super, super weird.
I have to say, it's a first, I'm sure a last as well, that an interviewee's been pulled away to go to the Situation Room. How was the president? Was he stressed?
No, the president is in great spirits.
Holy shit.
The Iranian mission is proceeding well ahead of schedule. And you know, I have to tell you, Wolf, that I have a teenager who's considering military service, and I could give this team my highest compliment.
He sounds fucking petrified. Jesus Christ.
From President Trump to the head of the Joint Chiefs to the Secretary of War, I would say that I would trust my child's life in their hands.
Okay. His demeanor before and after?
The U.S. Treasury market is the deepest, most liquid, and most solid in the world. We manage it out of this building, and we are the guardians of the Treasury market, and we try to be very transparent, and we also try to make sure that the market itself is very resilient on an operational and a settlement basis, whether it was post-liberation day last year, whether it's during this Iranian conflict now.
He always sounds warbly and hesitant because he is a warbly and hesitant person, but afterwards he sounds so different. I have never heard him talk like that.
The market is smoothly functioning.
Like, even after Trump initiated the Liberation Day tariffs and he had to justify that on like NBC and CNBC, he did not talk like this.
Settling well, we are very concerned about it at all times. The president is in great spirits. The Iranian mission is proceeding well ahead of schedule, and I have to tell you, Wolf, that I have a teenager.
There's a huge difference between these two. There's a huge, huge difference. He looked like he was shocked or choking up, like someone told or showed him. So, okay, first of all, pulling him from an interview is insane to begin with. Think of how that looks optically. We say the Iranian war is going great, everything's fine, it's going to be normal soon. And then you pull the Secretary of the Treasury away to the Situation Room mid-interview. It really couldn't wait until after he wasn't being interviewed? That already looks insane. And then he returns looking like this. He's the Secretary of the Treasury. My guess is he's been told something about oil prices. I'm just assuming if they needed him there in the Situation Room, right? He's not a military command. He's not Pete Hegseth. He's not Marco Rubio. If they were pulling him in, my guess is that he heard something about the economy. I mean, that's his job. His kids had no relevance to the topic, so for him to come back and preempt the notion his kid would be deployed, that means they threatened to deploy his kid. I wonder about that. It's, if I had to put money on it, and I'm not going to because I'm not a gambling man, but if I had to, I would say that they told him he had to do something or he had to prepare for something, and he pushed back, and then there was an argument. That would be my guess. I don't think they would pull him in there just to tell him to fuck himself or whatever. They probably told him something insane about the oil market, and then he rebutted it because what they're demanding isn't possible, and then they maybe threatened him or said something. I don't know. I don't think they're going to just threaten to deploy his kid, though. That's not really feasible, I don't think. I don't really think it has anything to do with his son. I think maybe that's like tangentially relevant. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know.
Who's considering military service, and I could give this team my highest compliment. From President Trump to the head of the Joint Chiefs, to the Secretary of War, I would say that I would trust my child's life in their hands.
That is just insane, though. That's so, so crazy. Maybe they're weighing boots on the ground and it sounds like they're going to do it. Yeah, but he should already know that. I just wonder what new information they could provide him that would have come out today or yesterday. I want to be clear, though, because I don't want to undersell this. I don't think this is necessarily going to happen, but I think it's important to keep this in mind. It is very possible that this is it. The world runs on a thread. Over the past 80 years, we have built out a very efficient, unbelievably efficient global commercial order, where thanks to artificially low oil prices, we have been able to facilitate global commerce. Globalism, as we understand it, is built on the ability for us to transport things from one point in the world to another point in the world quickly and easily. As oil prices go up, that becomes increasingly difficult, especially in the past 30 years, as we've really committed to dismantling our domestic production networks and relying on global trade instead. A significant and sustained shock to our oil prices could end all of that in a way that we didn't feel before. Or let me put it another way. There was an oil shock back in the 1970s, right? Israel did more war because they love war, they love death. And in response, OPEC embargoed, you know, we didn't have access to their oil. It led to a spike in oil prices. But back in the 1970s, America produced a lot more of its shit domestically. Our food, our medicine, our cars, our clothing. Heard about that from me, right? The stuff we needed, we relied on it much more domestically. But now we get almost everything through supply lines that rely on low oil prices. Or to put it another way, oil prices have a disproportionately high effect on supply lines that have multiple points of contact around the world than they do local supply lines. It is very possible that this conflict could spiral out and not really fix, not be addressed, and we're just dealing with permanent, sustained $140, $150, $200 a barrel oil prices, and it just stays there. It just stays for months and for years. And all of these supply lines all around the world that relied on low oil prices become unprofitable. And some of them will raise their prices so they can continue to survive, but a lot of them are just one link in the chain of a very complicated multi-step process for the production of everyday goods. You know, like you will have oil that's refined into petroleum, that's refined into plastic products, that's refined into a widget, and the widget is used as a part, and then the part is used as like a piece of a broader whole, and the individual like molecule of oil or whatever gets moved around like 17 times before it ends up in your grocery store, it's possible that might just not be possible anymore. We might have built supply lines that only made sense when oil was cheap. And if that's true, we're facing like a global economic crisis. Good, this will be the case till renewables. That's true, but keep in mind that renewables don't solve the main problem, because we're talking about trucks and boats and planes, not just domestic energy grids and plastics too. Yeah, we're talking about like everything we make with oil. It's addressable, but not in the short term. And the economic shock that might happen between A and B could still be catastrophic. Fertilizer costs. I would buy a bicycle. Buy a bicycle. Now you, Trump imposed a carbon tax and you're dooming. Yeah, yeah. You know, we're going back to coal maybe? No, because coal can't fuel cars or boats. Coal can't be used to produce plastics. Coal is almost useless, honestly. Coal is becoming increasingly useless. Like it's less convenient than natural gas in a lot of ways. It's not as clean. It's a pain to get out. No, coal's on its way out. Coal's on its way out. It's just the only reason you hear about coal is because coal executives bribe Trump or whatever. He's not coal. It's on its way out. Thank you for fear-mongering. I'm not fear-mongering. It's true. We have built supply lines that are very efficient, but they're built on the assumption that oil prices will remain low. The fact that oil has been cheap over the past couple of decades, by and large, is one of the reasons why prices have remained so low in spite of other issues. Like, the orange line here is dollar values in 2009 dollars. Now, you might note the absolute peak over here that we see in 1979, that's at less than 100. So just keep that in perspective. In a global historical crude oil prices, 1861 to present, just keep in mind that these massive high points that we're seeing over here are less than 100. Dude, get a more zoomed in chart, please. I'm just pulling off Google Images, okay? How about this, okay? Daily price per barrel WTI crude oil in U.S. dollars, where you see more fluctuations. Down here is when COVID hit, nobody was buying oil. Up here was the peak 2008 financial crisis. For the most part, you know, we've seen like a relative stability. I know this doesn't look very stable because we're zoomed out over like 25 years here, but we're seeing relative stability in oil prices, especially post 2014, in this range of time right here, where they're fluctuating around like 50 to 70, like in this ballpark, okay? This is the reason why, even though so many domestic products, so many necessities get more expensive, healthcare, housing, college education, very, very, very influenced by inflation, but buying shit has only gotten cheaper relative to your paycheck. Going down to Target or Walmart and getting toys or food, by and large, these have remained quite inexpensive. And the reason for that is because we are at the top of a global pyramid of supply that makes efficient international trade. Like the system is built to benefit us. We are the ones who are meant to profit most from it. This is why so many things you just buy at the store, they're so cheap. At least up until recently, but a persistent increase in the cost of oil would put an end to all of this. Why do you think what you're saying right now didn't apply to 2011, 2013? I mean, it did to an extent. You can absolutely track the effect of crude oil prices onto inflation for commercial goods. You can do that pretty easily. It 100% did. I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff that we haven't really felt the full blunt force of inflation for yet because we've been dealing with a long stretch of relatively low oil prices. But you're saying this is it, clearly the world survived? Because over here, these oil prices were hovering around 50 to 70, and over here, they're hovering around 90. I'm saying if they're hovering around 200, higher than they've ever hovered. That's what I'm saying. Is that adjusted for inflation? I don't know, man. Vosh talking like Joe Rogan. Why are you being mean to me? What did I do? Do you understand? Some markets are more affected by the cost of fuel than others. For markets that are heavily affected by the cost of fuel, like stuff that bounces around 17 times before it makes its way into Walmart, that stuff would be heavily affected by a sustained increase in oil prices. This is a bad chart to explain to the dummies. Maybe I should find a better chart. Does somebody have a better, like, inflation adjuster? No, this is f-ing logarithmic. What the hell? Or not logarithmic. It's not... Oh, what if the Joker tried to explain the fuel economy? This is natural gas, not oil. This one says adjusted for inflation per barrel. Oh my God, this might actually work. This is also not even denominations per line. So down here is 20, but this spike that my mouse is on right now is all the way up to 100. So this is inflation adjusted, okay? So as you can see, if we normalize for these big fluctuations, right, like all the way up here at the peak of the 2008 financial crisis, we have this peak up towards 120, 130 right here, and then a nadir down to like 44, right? You see a lot of fluctuations, but overall, since October 2006 or whatever you want to go to, over the past 20 years, we're ranging around like $60 to $70 per barrel, okay? If we're going off of WTI average prices, okay? 60 to 70, all right? There's some variance. Like down here during COVID, we dipped quite a bit. And then over here during the height of Biden inflation, we got up to around 114. But by and large, that's what we're averaging, okay? And you'll notice that these really, really, really high peaks all the way up here, they only last a little while before there's a big drop, right? A big drop here after 2008, big drop here. Over here during the peak of Biden inflation, Inflation Reduction Act kicks in, boom, big drop, okay? Relatively normalized. And by the way, this big drop here was also because Biden released a bunch of the strategic reserve. Okay, so the problem is that, I mean, it's the point that I made. It's just the point that I made. The world as we know it has relied on fairly standard, stable oil prices for decades. And it is possible that we are building a world where the new norm is going to be not just a very bad conservative Twitter show that didn't take off, but also much, much, much higher. Even a norm that hovers at around $100 a barrel would be a critical increase from the norm that we have become accustomed to in this inflation-adjusted chart over the past 25 years. And if it went even higher than that and it stabilized there, a whole bunch of the global, like a significant part of the global economy as we know it, relies on those lower prices, and there would not be a stabilization past that point. Here's adjusted for inflation. Okay, thank you. There, adjusted for inflation. Same basic point. Oh, actually, adjusted for inflation, stuff was really bad after 2008. This wasn't adjusted for inflation? Okay, that shit sucked. What brought it down? I'm actually asking, what brought it down here in 2014? Obama? Okay, thank you. A new OPEC deal? Fracking? Oh, it might have been fracking, yeah. Because this is WTI, so it would be disproportionately impacted by the American... fracking might... Was it not fracking? Not fracking? Okay, it seems I have a lot more to learn on this then. I would be interested in understanding this climb and this drop. OPEC deal? Okay, I'd have to read more about it. Gay marriage? Oh, right. The 2014 plunge in import petroleum prices. What happened? Import crude petroleum index dropped 51.7% between June 2014 and January 2015. Price trends leading up. Yeah, huge spike in 2009. Huge, huge spike in 2009. Sharply, upward pressure on petroleum prices. The 2014 events in Ukraine had a big impact as well. Yeah, but you'd think that would increase the price. Instability with Ukraine and Russia, you'd think that increase the price of oil, not decrease it. So I'll have to learn more about that. Yeah, don't be mean to me. I did have a birthday this year. It was fracking, but fracking is mostly natural gas, not oil. Whatever. The situation is crazy. The situation is crazy. Oh, if you've been enjoying the content, make sure to like and subscribe, and also join the website if you want to. VGG. Bosch.gg.